So, Tone, it's time to talk about our big show in April. First, I want to give a big thanks to Schedulicity and to Cosmoprof Beauty for sponsoring the show.
Yeah, in Maryland, April 7th and 8th.
That's right. So we're actually doing a show and classes, and we have the amazing Presley Poe and her friends. So tell us about our friends.
We have Blushing Maine, Sarah Jane Maples.
Who just won an AHA.
She sure did. We got Updo Guru, Casey Powell, for those amazing bobby pin sculptures.
It's amazing, right?
Yeah.
And from Project Runway, we have Jackie and Lynn coming in, and they're going to show some editorial work on the stage. And Lynn
huge
does the,
fans.
And Lynn does the quickest updos in the world, so he's going to teach some of that as well. But then tell them what's happening right before the show.
Right before the show and right after the show, we have Johnny Cash Livingston doing some tattoo barbering, brother.
Yeah, and he's open for questions and stuff, too. So, you know, if you have any questions while you watch him work.
Yes, sir. Up close and personal.
Also, another big thanks to Cosmoprof for sponsoring the Shadow Presley Poe. And we're going to have the winner there.
Yep. Miss Stephanie.P.Hair.
Yeah, so you'll get a chance to meet her as well.
And a big shout out to our boy, Ben Mullen.
Ben Mullen.
Yeah, he's going to emcee the whole event.
Can't wait to hear him. So, again, all information will be available at PresleyPoeAndFriends.com. Check it out. Check out the classes, and it's going to be a fantastic weekend.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble. With exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Hey, welcome to your day off. My name is Corey, and of course I sit with my best bud, Tony. What's up, Tony?
What's up, bro?
So, something that's been real consistent over the last few podcasts that we've done is, like, we're finally able to reach out or to meet up with people that we've been trying to get on the podcast for, I don't know, months or a year or so.
Yeah, I've been telling you since last June when we were in Orlando, we need to get this guy on the podcast.
I know, right? Actually, a guy that works with us too, Artistry by Gabriel. He was like all the time, "Have you talked to him yet? Have you talked to him yet? Have you talked
to
him yet?"
He's a hard dude to pin down, man.
Yeah, dude, this dude travels like crazy.
Yeah,
you know, he's another one that's always, always, always on the road.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny. I remember the first time I met him, and he was just in his own world, rocking. He was just rocking it out in the back, you know. I'll let him tell the story, but this dude, yeah, he's legit.
Legit, right? That's an understatement, right? You know. Yeah. So, so we've talked to a bunch of his friends. He comes up on the podcast quite a bit, but should we get in?
Yeah, introduce him.
Okay, let's do it. So, joining us on your day off today is Lynn Fan, otherwise known as B Scene. So, Mr. B Scene, welcome to your day off.
Thank you so much, guys. Thank you.
Oh, man. Yeah, finally, bro.
Yeah, you know, I'm here.
It's
finally. And I'm down the street.
Yeah, I know. It's
literally, right? Literally.
Yeah. Well, it's actually funny. Like, you know, sometimes the hardest people to reach are those that are the closest to you.
Yeah.
Right? You know?
Yeah, it's like living here in D.C. There's so much to offer, and I haven't seen much of it because you take it for granted. Or yeah. you just, yeah.
Yeah, completely, right?
Right,
like you never go to the museums
no,
or
goes,
any of that kind of
goes
stuff.
To those.
Right,
when you have family in town, people from out of town come. That's kind of when you go, right?
Yeah. So before we get into your hair journey, brother, where are you from? Where did you grow up?
I'm born and raised here, actually, in Wheaton, Maryland.
Really?
Which is maybe 15-20 minutes down the road.
Did you go to Wheaton High School?
I went to Kennedy.
Kennedy?
Yeah. So Silver Spring, Wheaton.
Repping the Kennedys.
Yep. North right. Wheaton, North Wheaton.
What? No doubt, man.
Yeah, so I'm born and raised here.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. How did what got you into hair, or how'd you find hair?
I was a college dropout at college studying mechanical engineering.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and dropped out second year and found myself bartending in the city. And somebody came into the bar and offered me a private bartending gig for their salon grand opening. Mm-hmm. And that's at Irwin Gomez.
Oh, right.
Yeah, in Georgetown.
Yeah.
So, and this is before I even did hair. Wow. I was just a bartender at the nightclub. I'm just making money, having fun. And that gig got me into hair. I had no desire to do hair, mm-hmm. no passion for hair. Mm-hmm. I was just a college dropout, having fun, making money. and I did the private bar gig to help him open his salon, and kind of got me, you know, into this environment.
Right.
And I was like, whoa, what the heck? This is cool, man. And they offered me a job, you know, doing hair, shampooing and sweeping hair. And at that time, I was 24 years old.
Right.
And, you know, at 24, you kind of have to figure out what you're going to do in life. And I think it came at a perfect time. And I was, you know, at that crossroad, like, what am I going to do?
Right.
And hair came about. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to take this thing and just run with it. And I did.
Which is hard, because when you're at 24 and you're making that kind of club money, and then, you
yeah.
know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you're making a decision, okay, I want to give that up to start sweeping hair.
Floor money.
Yeah, yeah. And shampooing. Yeah. That's a lot of guts.
Yeah. I knew I had to do something, though. I you know, fast forward in my life, I was like, I can't be a 40-year-old Asian male bartender.
Right.
It's not cute. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, yeah, I always think back to that day. You know, if I were to turn that gig down, I wouldn't be here in front of you guys.
That's amazing, right?
It's crazy.
What was that? What was that movie? Sliding Doors, right? Yep. Like, that was your sliding door, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's incredible.
That wasn't really that long ago, right?
No. I'm trying.
Yeah, I was 24 then, and I've been in the industry now 10 years. So
God, what, 34 10 years, now, right? Yeah. Wow, that's amazing, man.
That's crazy.
It is wild when every time I tell the story, I just can't believe it.
That's so so, that's amazing.
So did you go to hair school, or you just apprentice?
Yeah. I did hair school too. Did hair school, got out. So I did hair school, I bartended, I worked a retail job, and I assisted. So I had all those four things going on at one time. And it just taught me how to hustle and just stay motivated to, you know, live the dream.
Right.
And worked really hard and left the salon a stylist and just branched off on my own.
How long did you work on the floor with Irwin Gomez?
Not at all.
Not at all. Oh, so you went right from...
I left as an assistant.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then we...
Yeah, I was going to say, the one thing that, out of all the podcasts that we do, I think the common denominator is the hustle, the hard work that,
yeah.
you know, that people are willing to put in to achieve what they've, you know, achieved.
Completely. I mean, I think that at the end of the day, that, two things, right? Like hard work, if you want to be at the top of our industry, it's going to be hard work and a little self-awareness too.
Yep.
You know, those are the two kind of, you know, common denominators that has seemed to have come out through the podcast.
So did you leave as an assistant to go assist somewhere else?
No. I left it as an assistant and finished hair school and started doing hair out of my house, having this idea that I could be creative. And, you know, I came from a more higher end atmosphere at Irwin Gomez.
Mm-hmm.
And I fell in love with the creativity of hair. And I wanted to stay creative. And at that time, like, creative hair, there was no money in creative hair.
Right.
It was, you know, this is in 2008. Yeah, so I had this dream that I could make money being creative. So I started out of the basement that I rented while I was going to hair school that I found on Craigslist. Turned into a little studio, and I just rocked out. And with, like, guerrilla marketing style. Using Facebook, word of mouth,
right?
Doing, you know, a bunch of scene girls. Scene girls is what, like, that emo culture, the punk rock girls, where it's like super choppy layers and block color. That's the scene look.
Right.
And I was practicing on these people and just making moves, man. And it started growing, and the basement was just getting too small. Yep.
Wow. That's crazy, because I know a lot of people when they're in hair school, they're like petrified.
Yeah,
you know, coming out and.
But I'm, you know, 24 years old. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
On my own, just trying to make it, and I was doing that out of my house for 3-4 years.
Wow.
Yep.
Really?
Yeah. And I got hooked up with. I knew that I had to grow out of that, and into something more legit.
Right.
And I was working with a PR girl at the time. We had just met, and she knew a guy that was starting a salon suite business
mm-hmm.
Here in Bethesda. We're actually sitting here today.
Ah,
yep.
Big shout out to Tom and, and
yeah,
Jen.
Tom and Jen. And, yeah. And, they
Symmetry Salon Studios.
I walked this entire premises when it was under construction, and I got first dibs on a room. And, you know, it was super ballsy of me, but I took on a 3-chair suite just by myself. And this is like coming out of my house.
Right.
So my first move out of my house was a 3-chair salon suite here. And it was a huge, huge move for me. It was the first time just becoming legitimate. I remember signing the lease. I even took a picture of it because to me, that moment was like life-changing for me.
Right.
You know, taking that big step out of my house and let's see what's out here. And it was hard, man. You know, it's ballsy again, taking on a 3-chair lease by myself.
100%. Right. And it's funny because this is where I met Lynn.
Yeah.
And where I met B-Scene. And when you come in, and literally, how many rooms are you? About 20 rooms here?
Yeah.
Or almost close to it. And so you walk through the front, and B-Scene's in the very back because he had a huge studio, but you can hear him from the front.
You hear the bass. It's just,
oh, my God.
So the agreement was, I had told Tom when I got in here that, you know, I do play music loud and, you know, I do these crazy things. So they soundproof my room. I don't know if you guys know that. That room is soundproof back there.
So they did do a very good job. No, yeah.
In all four of the walls and on the ceiling, there's soundproofing that they had to put in. And I don't know if they still have it. The door was air sealed so that noise wouldn't escape. Yeah.
It was totally like a club. I mean, it was like you were back there DJing. It was totally like a club. You know,
and I came from a club environment,
right?
Bartending, so it was just natural for me to have a good time, show my clients a good time, and it was fun. And I was here a year, you know, and I was busting out of the seams, and it was a great, great experience. I learned a lot, mm-hmm. and it's the first time I picked up Schwarzkopf was here at Symmetry. I was using Wella before, and Cosmopop Rep put Schwarzkopf in my hands, and never looked back. Wow. So
that's amazing, right?
You know, I, you know, again, I never thought I would ever be where I am today. You know, looking back just 5 years ago was the first time someone put Schwarzkopf in my hands, and now I'm, you know, the Schwarzkopf Professional Artistic Team in North America.
God, that's
I know, man. Right? It's been a wild ride. And when you guys say roller coaster, it's been a roller coaster.
I want to get into that because, you know, one, nothing is done without purpose. So, you know, like, well let's start. When you left here, where'd you end up?
Oh, when I left here, so 3-chair suite here. I went to a small salon spa, and it's called Blue Water Day Spa.
Uh-huh.
They had a 6-chair little area for salon. Mm-hmm. It was a spa, and the hair area was a room separate. And it had 6 chairs in there. I went in there and just kept grinding, just the same.
Right.
Barely took a day off. I think it took one day off, and then the next day I was already in business. And just continuing to grow. I never had my plan was to never open a salon.
Really?
It wasn't.
Wow.
It wasn't. Even working at my house back in the day, I told myself, like, I wouldn't open a salon because I wasn't about that.
Right.
But
you're afraid it's going to lock you in and you can't be creative.
I don't know what it was. I just wasn't about it.
Right.
And just years and years of just working and learning and then teaching, I fell in love with teaching. And it's like, wow, I'm like, you know, these people are learning and my assistants are growing. And I guess I'm going to be opening a salon soon because it was the natural growth of the business.
Right.
And I found myself getting ready to plan a salon, and
wow.
You know, still to this day, I've owned the salon for a year and a half, and it's probably one of the hardest things I've done. You know, I'm still learning how to be a hairstylist.
But it's no normal salon.
No.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. So I was at Blue Water first after salon Symmetry Salon Studio. So after my suite, I went to a 6-chair space, and from there I planned on I stayed there and planned the big BC Studios.
Right.
Yeah, and that took me about 2 years to plan and build. So we've been open now, doors open a year and a half.
That's amazing too. I mean, it's amazing because of all the, you know, not just Lynn, but MB Scene, like all the I don't know, contracted like hairstylists that you have, you know, like, I mean, Casey and Schmegs. Yep. Because I
kept the same vibe, mm-hmm. that I had from the beginning, which was, we can be creative and we can make money and we can have fun. And that's what I've always wanted. And, you know, I just had this idea.
You're doing it.
I just had this idea that it could be in a warehouse. It didn't have to be in a retail area.
Right.
But were you with Schwarzkopf before you opened the salon, or?
I'm not like technically like with them. I've just been working like in partner with. Yeah, I'm just a stylist from Maryland using Schwarzkopf and creating content. And we just had a beautiful relationship going back and forth. And, you know, just for the past couple of years has been like really, really legit, like getting closer and closer. But it's a dream come true, you know, and I get to teach and spread this throughout the entire salon. Yeah,
that's so cool. So, I mean, I guess we got to talk about it. Like, when did your Instagram story start? Was that like 2014? Like when a lot of the hairstylists did?
Yep. My friend Hair God Zito had about 10,000 followers. I had about 5,000. So mm-hmm. we all kind of linked up. Guy Tang at the time had like 40,000 or 50,000, and that was when it started, you know, like people were like just growing and using Instagram, and I was one of the first ones.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, you know, I knew that Instagram would like help me promote just like
right.
the Facebook did at the beginning, and not really knowing where it was going to go, but I just knew I had to post. And Ricky was a, you know, me and him would talk all the time on DM, just kind of like throwing ideas back and forth. But we never met though. It was just through DM.
That's so funny because Alfredo was saying the same thing. When mm-hmm. we did the podcast with him, he's like, yeah, you're like, I knew about Ricky, but we never kind of really met. And that yep. he actually said he had a hard time finding him because, what was the story? Like he was throwing B3 like out in the audience or
yep.
something.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then Alfredo had to go meet him and he's like, I don't even know what this guy looks like.
Yep.
You know? So that's kind of crazy because he never posted about himself, right? It was all, yep. as he put it, I was just doing Skittles. Doing Skittle heads.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So you guys developed this relationship before things really yep. blew up.
Yeah. And me and him went to Brazilian Bomb Builder first. I think me and him were the first ones mm-hmm. to come on board as like influencer ambassadors.
And would you guys go on tour together? Did you guys
work? We were doing stuff together a lot. You know, B3 sent me a box to my salon and I didn't even like look at it twice. It was just like sitting there. This is before I knew anybody. I was right. using Olaplex.
Right.
And the box was sitting there. And I didn't even, like, open it up. I just, like, left it there until I ran out of my bond builder. And I needed something. I was like, all right, let's just open it up and let's use it. I used it and loved it, posted about it. Within 5 minutes, I got a call from Alfredo Lewis. And he was like, hey, man. You know, I'm Alfredo Lewis, global ambassador. I was like, oh, what's up? How are you? And, you know, he's like, Ricky told me to send this to you. I didn't know if you would like, if you're down for using something new, but Ricky told me to just send you a box and we sent you a box and I'm glad you're using it. And I was like, I love it. And then that's when it started.
That's crazy.
It is crazy.
Luckily, nobody moved that box.
Yeah.
Didn't end up in the trash.
Yeah.
Be who?
Yeah. But that's how me, Ricky, and B3 all got started.
Oh, that's cool. It's funny how things just fall in place sometimes for people, right? Or just, you know, or they act, you know what I mean? Because the opportunity could be there and they could either have a choice where, you know what, I'm cool with what I'm doing now, or they act. I mean, and
I'm huge on almost like making your own opportunity. Mm-hmm. You put energy in the air and you put your dreams out there and you have it in mind all the time, every day. And if you just work towards it and make the right decisions towards that dream, mm-hmm. it will happen.
But how do you weigh that, right? Like how do you weigh, like, this is the decision that needs to be made? You know, you said the right decisions. How do you know it's the right decision? Or how, I mean, you don't have to talk generally, but, you know, how did you go, oh, that was the right decision? Or more importantly, what are some bad decisions that you've made?
Well, you have to make the bad ones to learn from them, right?
Speak it.
So I think opportunities are everywhere and you just have to try them. For example, that moment I was at the bar, if I were to say no to that salon gig, I wouldn't be here.
Right.
If your friend asks you to do something one weekend, that could be a door that opens up that you had no idea was there. You know, from mechanical engineer, bartender, straight to hair. That was something like way left field.
Right.
You know, and that was just something that came about one night. And I said, yes. Your friend asked you to go help him do something one weekend that could open a door to something that you never knew was there. So it could be a bad one. It could be a good one. You don't know until you get there.
Right.
So all those little opportunities that are hidden, you know, really important to like to see them and just try them.
Well, you know? We're glad you said yes. So.
Yeah, for real.
Me too. Me too. I'm glad I said yes too.
That's amazing. That just blows me away. So just kind of let's relive that a little bit. So yeah. like it's got to be amazing to think over the last 5 years, just like where you were like, I mean, like you said, a bartender in a bar, and now like you're traveling internationally and like being represented, and you're being represented as your name too, which is just is amazing. I mean, that's, you know, not BC and for Schwarzkopf, not this, but you know, you're being, you know, your name.
Yeah, I do relive it sometimes, but I'm so in the moment because I'm still learning how to be a hairstylist and I'm still learning how to be a salon owner. So, you know, these things are present, you know,
Right. Current
situations to me now, like learning and trying to figure out my next moves while living the, like, kind of going through the motions of what's been happening and trying to grow at the same time. It's a lot, you know what I mean?
No doubt. It's a lot.
And then I have a personal life too. So where does that come in? You know what I mean? So I do think about the past sometimes, but more so what's next, you know, and the industry is in a really, you know, interesting area right now with the social media and where everyone's thinking in their head, like, what's next? What are we going to do next? What are the next trends? What's going to happen? No one really knows.
Right.
You know, but we're all just here trying to figure it out. And I tour around the world, you know, talking to a lot of stylists because they're always asking, you know, is Instagram like that important? Yes, it's really important.
Right.
You know, how do I grow on Instagram? And I'm just like, you know, I think people have the idea that they want to be famous or Insta famous or an influencer. And I always tell them, like, you know, don't focus on that. You want to focus on the craft and let that take you to where you want to go. Because if you are just focused on being famous, I think you're going to go off a different path. And I don't think that's the one you want to go down.
Yeah,
you know,
that's well said.
Yeah.
I think you're right. I think a lot of people, it's a lot of work. It's hard work and it's a grind. But, you know, if you love the craft that much and willing to put that kind of work toward it, like you said, it's going to shine.
Yeah.
You know, if you just go for the spotlight, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Or you're spotlighted for the wrong reason.
For the wrong reason, exactly.
Right. You know, like that you definitely don't want that, you know. But I mean, if you think about in our industry, like there's very, very few people that are representing the top of our industry that hasn't put the work in or who don't have the work. Is that a terrible sentence? But who doesn't have the work, you know? I mean, there's some really, really great work out there, you know.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you something that's interesting about, and Smegs is this way, Presley Poto is this way, Lynn is this way, but like when you're scrolling like through like your feed, you know that that's a BC picture.
Yeah.
Right. Like there's this branding kind of thing that's happened. And I know certainly Schmegs does. When you flip it, you can definitely see hers and Presley's that way. And there's a few others, but it's just really nice. And was that purposeful? Were you looking for that brand recognition as you go through the scroll?
Yeah, you definitely have to find your own individuality, you know, in your work. Find that look that defines you and just keep it consistent and post accordingly. You know what I mean?
Right.
Just don't post all sorts of crazy stuff. I think everyone has their own look, like you say. Mm-hmm. Like you scroll through, you see a Gaetan picture.
Yeah,
a B-scene picture, a Ricky Zito picture, you know? And I think it's cool how that's your expression of your art, you know?
Right.
I think that's really important, too. How do I express myself through hair, and how do I capture it so it shows on...
The image says it's
exactly,
B-scene as well.
Exactly, and it's cool. You know what I mean? I can't replicate how Ricky does his, and he probably can't replicate mine.
Right.
It's just your own expression of your art, and I think that's really cool.
I think it's really cool. I love when I scroll through and I catch it, right? You're like, oh, that's Lynn. You know, like, yeah. Like that's really kind of, that's cool, right?
That is tight.
Yeah.
I love that.
Well, we talked about, you know, how long we've been trying to get you on the podcast. When I said since last June, we were in Orlando Premiere.
Oh, boy.
I remember.
I remember you and I guess the BTC crew, all you guys were having a private dinner. And
we may have crashed it.
Yeah. Gabe's like, oh, I know where they are.
Was that my birthday party?
Yeah, it was definitely your birthday party.
That was my birthday dinner. That was a funny night, too.
We definitely crashed your birthday dinner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you did. You did. I think like everyone who was there was like there.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, your whole team was
Yeah, but my girlfriend Maggie put that dinner together.
Uh-huh.
It was like a surprise, and she invited like Mary Behind the Chair, Philip, Alfredo. She invited everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's a funny.
Oh, I thought that was a BTC like. So you're saying that Maggie put that together?
Maggie put that together.
Sorry, Maggie.
For my birthday.
Oh, yes, okay. Because, I thought it was the other way around.
No, it was for my birthday.
Right.
Because I put together a nice dinner for her just a few weeks prior.
Right.
And then my birthday was in June, so she put together a little dinner for me, and it was beautiful. And all she wanted to do, it's a funny story, all she wanted to do was pay for my dinner. But when it was time to pay the check, Mary already picked it up.
Of course.
But you can't, I mean, it's Mary Behind the Chair. You don't just say, like, dude, what the heck? You just kind of sit there like, okay.
Okay, thanks. Thanks, man. Thanks.
So, yeah.
Gemini.
So, I'm Gemini, yeah.
Oh, same, brother.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. That was funny. Yeah, so I remember you guys coming through.
Yeah, we totally did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was my birthday.
Yeah.
Yeah, I felt pretty awkward, man.
That's all good.
I said, like, yeah, let me introduce you to Lynn, man.
True story.
I do remember.
True story. That's the first night we met Danny, too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
It's a lot of firsts.
Actually, you know what? It was the first time we met everybody.
Well, when you go to those hair shows, you meet everybody. Everybody's there.
Yeah, right. I mean, yeah. I guess the only one we knew at the table. I mean, you knew Lynn, and we certainly know Phil.
Right.
But aside from that, it was...
Everyone was new.
Everyone's there. Yeah. That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. That's pretty surreal, actually, for us.
That was Sophie, Stay Cold was there.
Sophie was there. Julius Caesar was there. Yeah. A couple others were there, too.
Yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Alfredo and...
Mary Behind the Chair was there.
Mary was there. Yeah. Oh, and her daughter was there.
Yeah, Haley.
Haley was there.
Yeah, Haley. Yeah.
They were like, "Who are these ugly dudes walking?"
Who are these old guys? I definitely felt that way in the moment, right?
Yeah.
That's so awesome. That was a good night, though.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, sort of. Yeah.
For us, not maybe not for him, but
just felt awkward in that room.
But it's funny because you know I just remember. You know, we're going to get into some more of your journey and all your travels. But, you know, I just remember seeing you here and then you were gone. And next thing you know, I mean, I just, you were just all over our feed. You were just all, you know, shooting pictures all over the world. I mean, you know what I mean? You're in like snowmobiling or all these little trips.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, it was just like, what in the world was going on? You know?
Yeah. I didn't know what was happening, but something was happening in that room.
Right.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And I think everybody was back there trying to drink the water.
That's crazy. So were you actually in this building when you started to gain traction?
Yeah, it already gained traction.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it started to gain traction already.
So do you remember like your first like your first post either by Behind the Chair or what post was in that moment where you're like, this is pretty cool?
A lot of people say when they think about the first time they saw a B-scene picture,
uh-huh.
and that's kind of what I go off of, you know what I mean? Because I'm just in my room posting pictures, doing my thing, and I don't even know what my thing is.
Right.
I get it from other people and what they tell me. It was transformations and working on a lot of dark hair, Asian hair.
Right.
Getting them really light, silver, platinum. But I think it was the before and after that really... cut a lot of
but traction. Do you remember like the first time that when you got that attention, like do you remember like that, like, and again I don't know who posted you first or who put you on the
dude
map
it
first.
Used to be so crazy when like all those magazines would post me, like, in still to this day I get so excited, like when Behind the Chair posts me, Modern Salon, American Salon, if they repost my picture I still get excited. You know?
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And I still remember, I don't remember the exact first time, but I still get excited when I get reposted.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's do you get excited like when people that work at BC when they get reposted as well?
Yeah, of course.
Like when Maggie does. Or yeah, Casey,
yeah, of course. Of you know, that's part of our culture, which is the working closely with brands and teaching everybody how to use social media and how important it is, and to use social media as a business tool, and to see it as like healthy competition. That's what they used to do back in the 80s when Vidal Sassoon and the TG guys would just, there was no social media. They would lock themselves in their rooms after a long day at the salon and just create. And this is what inspired me, like, you know, through the years is looking back at the 80s and the 70s, putting out collections and stuff. The Paul Mitchell crew and the TG crew wouldn't see a collection until it would be published in a magazine. You know what I mean?
Right,
the magazine comes out, it drops, and you see Vidal Sassoon's team create like some crazy, crazy stuff. And you're like, okay, dude, we got to do something. So they'll lock themselves in a room and they'll start creating, and then it'll get published. And that's the only time you get to see the new collection. You know, and I think now with social media, you get it every day, every minute. You just see great work all the time, and it pushes you in a good way to continue to create and innovate your craft. And I think it's amazing.
Okay, I'm gonna slow you down a little bit. In your salon, are you teaching social media like hacks? Let's say so. Like, are you doing classes and stuff for your staff?
Yeah, we just did one yesterday that had to do with just new techniques that I've picked up. I'm continuing to learn too.
Like social media.
It's all around us. You know what I mean? I allow phones on the floor all the time. Mm-hmm. Just making sure they're like, hey, are you posting a video?
Right.
They understand how important it is. You know, they work around me, so they see how important it is to me.
Right.
So they pick it up too.
So but you're having classes on how to I know you're having color classes in the salon, and like this is in, it's just stuff that you picked up along the way, and then you're sharing it with your team.
Yeah.
And then with social media hacks and stuff like that as well.
Yeah. I used to do these morning classes, probably monthly, 8 in the morning. I would have my staff come in, and I would do like a consultation type class. We'd talk about social media. We'd talk about photography. We'll do a basic color theory class. Just recently, it's been really, really busy,
right?
And I haven't been able to, so I did one yesterday.
Oh, awesome.
So I'm getting back to on the grind, yeah.
That's incredible. I mean, I don't know how many salons are actually, you know, committing to that. But B-Scene's an expert in this, right? Like the social media and stuff, like he's proven it, right? There's a lot of people out there that are doing social media.
He's a lion in the industry.
Right, exactly. But there are some people that are teaching social media that they don't have much of a social media presence, you know. So just if you work in his salon, just how like
that'll be
awesome
like
that is.
Me teaching it, right?
Exactly. Like when we talked to Daniel Mason Jones, he said that, do you know Daniel Mason? So Dan,
sounds familiar.
Really, really quick about him is that he does 1.1 million from behind his chair every year. Right?
Okay.
And he says what gives him the greatest joy is that he has four assistants. So he's teaching four other people how to do $1 million from behind the chair.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm kind of relating you with that as well. It's like you're bringing this all back to the staff and you're teaching people how to do what you're doing. And I think that's pretty incredible.
I've seen lots of my assistants and apprentices and stylists grow, you know. And
they're all over the world, man.
It's amazing. It's amazing to see them grow, coming from living with their mom, not having a car, not having much, but just believing that if I work with B-Scene, I can make something of myself. A couple years later, they move out. They have their own place. They have enough money to buy a car. You know what I mean? Like, those types of things are beautiful. You know, I love that.
That's incredible. Yeah,
not only that, you know, by teaching them what to do, you're living an example of how hard to work in order to achieve it as well. So it's you know, you hustle, you work hard, and you do these things, you're going to be successful.
Yeah.
And you know, it's like a proud pop, right? It's like
basically.
Right, definitely is, right?
Yeah.
I mean, cuz you have well Casey moved to LA and Casey moved to LA.
Schmegs is in LA now too.
Right, Schmegs is in LA and who else are your branded like hairstylists?
We have BK the barber now.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have my assistants, you know, the entire salon, we were the most nominated salon last year for the One Shot Awards.
Gosh.
Yeah. That's 16 nominations or something.
That's incredible.
Yeah. And so as older stylists move on, we will continue to bring on new talent. So we have a really big event in a couple weeks that will have 150 students from all over the East Coast.
Oh, yes. All of that.
Yeah. Man, it's called, cool. It's called Back to School. And
love.
Yeah. Because I'm on tour now and I teach a lot of pros and I charge them, you know, high dollar for a ticket.
Mm-hmm.
But what about the hair school students? You know what I mean? Like, and I remember being in hair school, watching the television, they'll bring it in, they'll roll it in. They'll roll it in, pop in the VHS, you know, and you'll see Robert Chromians and like Tekashi doing their thing. And you're just like, wow, that's awesome, right? But that was me in hair school watching it from a TV. And I know nowadays hair schools don't get much love. And so this is an opportunity for me to kind of like give back and see what kind of talent's out there, because they're all over the place. And when I launched this idea, I capped it at 150 because I think my salon can hold about 120. You know what I mean? So
it's going to be smushy.
Yeah. So I opened it up, you know, obviously not knowing what happened, but in less than 24 hours, 150 students RSVP'd from all over the East Coast, not just this area. We have Whoa. Students flying in from Chicago. I got some word that New York is coming down, Florida, Arizona, Houston. 150 students at the salon at one time.
Wow.
For a free live color demo. And what I want to do is just kind of inspire, talk to them a little bit about Schwarzkopf and my journey, and kind of prepare them for what's like really out there, you know, because I think that's lacking a little bit in hair schools, and they don't get a lot of support, especially from influencers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So from this event, I want to see who's out there, you know?
That's incredible.
Yeah. It's going to be cool. It's going to be really cool.
That's really, really cool.
Yeah. Probably a bunch of young Lens out there, especially if they're traveling like from Chicago.
Yeah, but you know, the hungry ones, the ones that want it, are the ones that show up.
Wait a sec. Well, hold on. This kind of segue. So when the first time I met Lynn wasn't at in Orlando last year.
Was
at
a party.
Was the party when
the collaboration
that
yes,
you had to be
epic,
seen.
Dude.
Right, because Mustafa was there, and Ricky was there, Philip was there, Alfredo was there, you know, Casey
was there.
I was upset. I was sick. I was like,
man, you missed one. That was one for the books.
Yeah. Miss Kelly was there.
Miss Kelly O was there. Yeah. Neil M came through.
Neil was there.
Dude.
It was a crazy like time, man. It was awesome. But to that note, there were like people that flew in from LA
to see it.
Just to be fanboying.
Yep, because I opened it up for the public to come, and instead of seeing us on stage on a platform, we're on the floor behind the chair. You're behind us, you're next to us, and I wanted them to be a part of a collaboration. So, yeah,
I was so hoping that'd be an annual event, because that was the raddest thing ever.
That was crazy, you know, with everyone's schedules nowadays and everyone's like contracted and stuff. It's more difficult now than it was.
Right.
Yeah.
God, that was a great event.
I know.
Man.
It was fun. It was fun.
I'm so glad. Well, Phil called me Friday night and he's like, hey, bro, I'm going to be back home on Monday. And I'm
like,
oh,
what?
Exactly. So that's when I came down, because at that point I hadn't seen him in like 15 years.
Yeah.
So
this event, yeah, I don't know if you guys are free. You should definitely come.
Yeah, definitely.
Maybe. I'm on stage. The color demo is really quick.
Mm-hmm.
But just to get in front of 150. Super motivated, the energy in there is gonna be so high because they're hungry, you know, just to speak to them, you know.
What's
meet
that
them.
Date?
March 3rd, Sunday.
We're there,
yeah,
Sunday, March 3rd.
Yeah, we gotta make it happen.
Sunday, March 3rd, I think from 12 to 3.
Oh, it's only 3 hours,
yeah, because I'm not gonna do like a whole sit down.
I didn't mean it's
class.
Only for 3 hours. I was thinking about me. All right, I'll make it then if it's 12 to 3.
Yeah, 3-4 hours. I'm sure people are gonna be mingling around.
Yeah.
We're gonna have a lot of just.
You gonna have more food trucks?
I could. But just a lot's gonna be going down that day, and it's gonna be really fun to see everybody.
That's so cool.
Yeah, we'll definitely be there.
Yeah, and the same event got approved for Toronto. Back to School Toronto, sponsored by Schwarzkopf. And we'll work on an LA date. And this is to get product in the hands of the future professionals, because, you know, Schwarzkopf is not cheap. It's expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like high quality color, and to get these in the hands of the future professionals could lead to something else. So
that's amazing.
That's what the event is. It's cool.
That's brilliant.
Yeah,
it's so brilliant.
Thanks.
You know what I was just thinking is that Lynn was kind of the first one to kind of go like from hair school to like a studio suite, right? I mean, he didn't literally do that, but he went from hair school to like I'm gonna figure this out.
Yep.
You know, instead of working in a salon, instead of like doing the traditional kind of like trajectory.
Yeah, most people go to the salon and like, I want more.
Right.
He already knew he wanted more.
Yeah.
There was that girl that just graduated. We've talked about her a couple of times. One day I'll remember her Instagram handle, but I think her name is Madison.
Madison Pizer.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, so she went straight from school into a salon suite, and like I'm kind of like envious and nervous for her, you know. That's a tough role.
It's competitive out there. We work in a very competitive industry, mm-hmm. you know. It's hard.
That's it, but she seems to be killing it. Her work is insane, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know, her work is legit.
Yeah. She won the award for Student of the Year.
So that's pretty cool. So enough about her. Let's get back to that. So that's cool. So did you come up with the idea of the school, or was it something Schwarzkopf talked about?
It was my idea. And when I pitched it to them, they're like, dude, that's genius. We love it.
It's genius. That is so cool.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
It's just completely free for all students, and we'll pack the house to whatever they can hold.
And then, so when are you doing Toronto?
Toronto is going to be June.
In June?
It's going to be held at the Schwarzkopf Academy.
Oh, a birthday party cool. in June in Toronto for
Toronto,
you.
Yeah, man. Yeah. It's going to be, you know, again, inspiring, motivating, and kind of preparing the future professionals for what's out there. And just seeing the talent, you know what I mean? Getting in front of the future professionals. And
that's so cool.
Yeah.
I kind of wish I was a student so I could go hang out all the time.
I got so many DMs. I'm like, what? You know, I got to pay, you know, this much money for your ticket, but you're giving this free for students? I'm like, look, it's totally different type of class.
Right.
Totally. You know what I mean?
No, well, I mean, come on, man. If anyone's complaining about that, they're being short-sighted in their own career, right?
Yeah. And I think Maggie gets to join me on the Back to School Toronto event.
Oh, cool.
So they'll see both of us.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be
cool. That's
really
cool. Mm. So do you think you'll tour even more or just Toronto and LA and that'll be it?
Oh, this year's packed. 18 right. cities. 18 cities this year. So
Wait a second. 18 cities for just the back to school?
For my tour.
Right, your tour.
Yeah. For my own personal.
Okay, yeah. not the back
World
to school.
Tour.
Back to school, no. Back to school. It's at BC Studios in March. We have Toronto in June. Mm-hmm. And then we're working on an LA date now.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Do you think next year you'll do more of those?
We'll see how it does.
See how it goes.
You know, I mean, I haven't even finished the first one yet.
I know, right?
150 people, that's something to look forward to.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, man.
Yeah.
But it's also, you know, something that we talk about a lot is about giving back to the community, right?
Yep.
And then you can't give back more than that to the young ones that look up to you, you know, looking for something like...
You know, it's funny because we always say, yeah, when I did this event, when I put it together, I keep calling them kids. I'm like, right. They're adults. They're adults that are in hair school. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know? You just said the young ones. Dude,
you're right. They're
people older than you in hair school.
No, you're right.
True.
We did. Hoyt.
There's nobody older than us in hair school.
That's I know. Hoyt was he was in his 50s when we were in hair school.
That's true.
Yeah,
man.
I keep calling them kids. I'm like, wait, they're adults.
Yeah.
Future professionals. Let's go with that.
That's
future
professionals. Yeah. I try to train myself to say that.
Oh, that's funny.
Sharon at the temple will come and yell at us. You know?
Right.
Future professional.
We have I'm super excited to meet all the people from all over, you know, the East Coast.
That's
pound
it out, dude, because I think that's a brilliant idea.
Thank you.
I think that's really, really, really awesome.
And, you know, that's part of like what's next for me mm-hmm. as a stylist, as a salon owner, things mm-hmm. like that is where am I in this industry? So that's a huge thing to think about, you know, making my mark in the industry as a whole. What's next for B Scene? What's next for Lin Fan? You know, and that's what's like next for me is figuring out where I place myself in the industry.
You know what that's called?
What's that?
Legacy.
I don't know what it's called, but
that's what I'm doing.
You know,
that's 100% what it is, and that's part of like natural growth. Like I think everybody goes not just as hairdressers, but it's just people.
Yeah,
you know, like you get this, you get enough eyes on you, and then you're like. okay, well, you know, where do I stand and how does this carry on? You know, you'll feel it. It usually happens when you have kids, when you start to think about legacy.
There, like, you go. Yeah.
You know, there it is. Mm-hmm. Because that's your legacy. And then, you know, as a professional, what does that legacy look like as well?
150 of them in March.
That's right.
There you go. See? Yeah.
So how is the tour going?
Oh, great. I just finished my first one. It was host Liz Haven out of Houston. She just opened her brand new salon called Clyde O'Hare. And she wanted to host my first class in Houston.
That's cool.
And it was great. Yeah. 40-something attendees.
That's cool.
And usually at my tour, I give the hosting salon free tickets for the entire staff. They just help me out. They assist. They just make sure everything's cool.
Right.
Help out. Yeah. But my next one is in Phoenix. And we sold out twice. We sold out and we added more and we sold out again. So it's 55.
It's like Bruce Springsteen at the table.
Yeah, it's 55. It's 55 tickets sold, and then, you know, 25 of their staff members. That's put you at 80,
mm-hmm.
and then that's just the randoms straggling around. It's a lot of people.
Wow, you're doing this 18 times.
Yeah, yeah. So the next one, in Phoenix is with Maggie. The first one was not. So right. When I announced the tour, I asked her if she wants to join on any cities, and I had her just pick whatever city she wants to go to. And Phoenix, we're in San Jose, California. We're in Miami together.
Wow.
Yeah.
How many people in your crew did you take with you?
No one. I used to bring assistants a lot, but there's so many stylists that want to volunteer and learn hands-on. Mm-hmm. So everywhere I go, I ask for assistants and they'll show up.
Just show up.
Yeah, they show up.
Right.
And they're amazing, you know what I mean? And they're with me 2 or 3 days, and they just work by my side and learn.
That's pretty cool. That's kind of what we're doing with Presley. So I don't know if you saw, we're doing a contest with Presley.
Mm-hmm.
Shadow Presley Poe.
Yeah.
So we're doing that, and it's kind of that. We've had 300 people kind of like enter to Shadow Presley, but that's pretty cool.
Yeah, they love it. Yeah, they love it. Yep.
It's just so cool. I mean, it gets you in with the people that you admire on mm-hmm. Instagram and stuff. I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's really cool. So, actually, we just got a question from Instagram Live. Can you give any advice as to what Mary or what BTC is looking for in the one shot?
One shot.
One shot.
Yeah.
Everyone's talking about the one shot.
Yep. It's going to be the topic for the next 2-3 months.
Without a doubt.
But it's a huge topic for, you know, for me too. I love one shot. I love, again, I was talking about competition.
Mm-hmm.
This is what it's all about, man. Like, right. Work all year for this moment, you know, producing work for this moment. Literally all year long, mm-hmm. I produce content waiting for the one shot entries to open.
Right.
And then I start entering, you know. And
you know what? That's pretty smart, because I bet a lot of people... you know, go, oh, one shot's open, I can start doing hair. But you should have just been, or you could.
I've been
just
working been on it since they closed entries last year.
Right.
Yeah.
So do you, hold on. Okay. So do you hold those posts? Like,
no, I post them.
Then you'll repost them as a one shot nominee.
Yep. But I always have entry. But I always have it in my mind.
Like, you know, this is the image.
Yep.
Right.
But tips and tricks to what she looks for. You know, she goes on live and she has her own way of, and she'll explain what she looks for.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you want to, how do you express yourself through your photo? And I think that's most important. You know what I mean?
Kind of like what we were talking about before, about the branding and
exactly,
stuff.
Exactly. Exactly.
About the branding, the brand imagery.
When you take a good photo of your work and you keep it consistent, then people will notice you. You know what I mean? She has her own way of judging. I don't even know how she judges. But I'm just going to still do me and continue to produce work that I like,
mm-hmm.
that I think is amazing work, and I'll put it out there. If it gets nominated, it gets nominated. If it doesn't, it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to just like start changing all these things. You know what I mean? She could, you know, one day like this and one day like that. It does, you know, I never know. And I'm not going to like stress about all that stuff, you know, but I want the picture to be clean. I want it to look professional. I want it to look nice, and I want my work to be captured to a way that I want people to see it. So I think that's most important.
I think on that note, too, I think I listened when she did her podcast with Eric Taylor. I think she was saying that most of the nominees, or a good percentage of the nominees, like had like under 1,000.
Yeah, it doesn't matter how many followers you have.
1,000 followers and stuff, too.
It doesn't matter.
So that's pretty encouraging, right? Like, she's just looking for the work.
Exactly. Right? Exactly. You know? It doesn't matter who you are. Right. You know what I mean?
I heard when you first went on stage, you didn't say much. I heard you've kind of evolved into like stage friend.
I used to be terrified. I used to just not speak
right
at all.
I was like, hey, who's the Asian guy in the back?
Hi.
So did you take any like public speaking courses or classes, or was it just like you just stepped in the fire?
I just started speaking.
He went from one word to two words.
2 years later, like, he speaks?
That guy speaks? Who was that? I think it was Alfredo, actually, who was like, yeah, Lynn didn't speak much at first.
I didn't speak much.
Influencer in your shop that when we first met her, she didn't speak a whole lot either. And Schmegs.
Schmegs?
Yeah, like,
yeah.
She was super shy. She wouldn't say a whole lot because we met her at the airport heading down to see all you guys.
That was in June, too, right?
Yeah,
we got delayed with her at the airport. I'm still blown away, and I keep bringing this up, but I'm just still blown away about, you know, how many contracted artists you have in your salon. Like that to me would just make me so proud.
Yeah, I'm super, super proud of all of them.
Yeah. So did a lot of them, did they kind of do it like through your connections and stuff? Like, or not that the work's not worthy, because it's absolutely worthy, but like, how'd you make that connection, I guess, is the question. Or did they just, make the connections on their own and you're just that fortunate?
Well, a lot of the brands that I work with know that I teach a lot of what I do to my staff. And, you know, as they get better and better and better, you know, the brands know, like, there's a lot of talent going on right now at B-Scene. So they don't just, like, sponsor me. They kind of, like, go into my salon and, you know, see their work and kind of reach out to them. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's incredible, man.
Yep. So a lot of them are, you know, B3 artists, Pulp Riot. We have Schwarzkopf in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So again, it's a place where you can grow at your own pace. You know what I mean? We have products for you to work with and all the tools. All you have to do is pick up a bottle of something and like shout it out. And right. Next thing you know, you could be contacted, you know, by a product company.
That's amazing. So if you're a hairdresser and you wanted to go work for B-Scene, like, is that available to you, or is that available to hairstylists?
Yeah, it is, and a lot of people are always scared to like apply, but definitely.
Would you bring somebody in without a book, like if they came across country or something? Or
yeah, like you know, I have interviews in a couple of weeks with, you know, 6 assistants that applied.
Do you use Linktree? We just learned about Linktree. Mm-mm. On Instagram.
No.
So it's one link, it's one website, but then you have all your links inside of that website.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. Linktree. Link.tree, I think is what it's called.
Okay.
Do you see a slowdown in like Vivid work, or do you think that it's carrying on at the same momentum that it was, say, a couple years ago?
I think it still has the same momentum. Mm-hmm. But they are doing some wicked, wicked work out there. I've seen some sick, sick techniques and mind-blowing, that holographic stuff that they're doing.
That is crazy.
Man.
Do you have any idea? Because I can't figure it out.
Of course not. Of course not.
So when we talked to Ricky, he was like, he thought that everybody, he goes, one day you're going to see like bank tellers with Vivid color and stuff. Do you kind of see that? Or he compared it to
slowly.
Tattoos like 20 years ago, 25
slowly,
years ago.
Slowly. A lot of, you know, I do. My colors aren't super vivid, but they're kind of bright.
Right.
And I'm seeing more like nurses. I'm seeing like some lawyers, some doctors.
You're seeing lawyers and doctors with vivids, or like muted vivids?
Muted vivids, yeah. Like pushing the boundary.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's slowly happening.
Baby steps.
That'd be
baby
cool.
Steps, right? Yeah. Well, that was it, right? Like Ricky's thing was tattoos. Like, you know, just nobody had them. And now, you know, you see them everywhere. It's you know, it's not...
Yeah,
it's not unheard of to see him on a doctor or whatever. What's your best advice to someone that aspires to be an educator?
Again, your craft. Mm-hmm. Like, you gotta have your own niche. You know what I mean? Like, bring something to the table that's different from everybody else, and don't just do what like a manufacturer wants you to do. You want to educate the things that make you different. So, don't just be like an educator for a manufacturer teaching a certain thing that they want you to teach. Educating the stuff that you want to educate has to do with like your thing, your niche as an artist. So work on your craft. And again, that's like the core of it all.
Right.
So if I'm B-Scene and I have a B-Scene look, I want to be an educator known for what I do, not for doing something that a manufacturer is going to tell me to do.
That's pretty good advice, you know, especially with the rise of like independent education and stuff.
Yep.
And, you know, we just talked to Rebecca Taylor, and she certainly is like the queen of like independent education, you know, with half the stuff. Pretty cool. Mr. Limit, dude, you are up to so much stuff. And I love that, and you can yell at me if you want, but I just kind of love that you're in a place of like, you know what, it's time to, not, and I don't even like to use the word give back, but it's just the time to give.
Yeah.
You know, and I appreciate that for you. I appreciate that from the industry, and that's just really, really cool. I'm kind of blown away by it a little bit.
It hasn't been done, I think, especially with this whole rise of social media, and I think everyone's forgotten. Everyone's just on their own thing right now,
mm-hmm.
and it's just that time. You know what I mean?
I think so. Do you think you'll see a lot of other people trending towards that as well? Social media influencers, or
we'll see. I don't know. I don't know what's gonna happen, man. The industry is like so crazy right now. Yeah, you know?
You just know what you're doing.
That's right.
You know? Yeah. So I'm just my own. I just in my head, I have ideas, and I'm just gonna continue to do what I think is right and cool. And
people are responding.
That's right. So
probably
what sets him apart from the rest, right? Or it always has, right?
Yep.
Well, exactly. I don't want to do things that people are just already doing, you know?
Yeah. Yep.
You put pressure on yourself for that, though?
All the time, every day. I don't sleep much.
Yeah. Right. I can't imagine, like...
on the plane, right?
Exactly. Maybe. Just can't imagine that pressure. Like, okay, well, I've seen that. That can't be done. Or, like, how do you evolve that or whatever, man?
Yeah.
That'd keep me up at night as well.
It's hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah, man. We really, really appreciate it, brother.
Oh, thank you.
Dude, I'm so happy we finally got this in.
Yeah, man. Is there anything else you guys...
Is there anything that you want to push out there?
Just push the whole thing.
Other than
new hires.
Yeah.
I mean, we covered a lot, right?
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right. Shall we?
Yeah.
Shall we? Mr. Lin Fan, be seen. Thank you very, very much for joining us on your day off.
Thank you for having me, man.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey, so there it is. Hey, this is a message that we've been trying to bring, I don't know, for the last couple of months, actually since we started the podcast. Hey, so if you like the podcast or if you find that it's useful, please, please, please leave us a review, a 5-star review on iTunes. Leave us a rating and a review.
But if you don't like it, forget about it.
Yeah, totally forget about this message. We also want to thank Sarah and Blaine from Pretty Gritty. Sarah and Blaine, they are a band out of Portland, Oregon, and we just want to thank them very much for allowing us to use their song, Pleased to Meet You, on our podcast. That's cool. I think you can find their music on iTunes.
Peace and hair grease.